And we're studying tonight the topic of truth in the inward parts, which is a phrase that's found in Psalm 51. If we can turn there and read verses 6 and 7, he says, "Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." The particular focus in those verses in Psalm 51 is on the way that God uses His truth in our inner man and a work that He's doing there. And that is something that we need to be not only very aware of, but make sure that we are cooperating with the Lord, that we are letting Him do that work in us with His truth in our inward parts. We do have an outer man that's temporal, this fleshly part of us, but we have been made in God's image, and we have an eternal part of us, our spirit, that is going to go on into eternity, and that's the part that God is seeking to form into so that we can be partakers of His divine nature, and He is using His truth in our inward parts to form us, to accomplish His purpose. That's what we want to study about tonight. Now, to understand how to have truth in our inner man, we need to remind ourselves of what the source of truth is. And truth is not found in ourselves. It's not found in man or the wisdom of man. It is found and comes only from God. But in Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23, he gives us a very plain statement about the fact that that truth is not within us, that it is not within ourselves that we find the direction that we need to go in. Jeremiah 10:23 says, "O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps." And then in Isaiah chapter 55, verses 6 through 11, he makes a contrast between the thoughts and ways of man and those of God. They are not the same. In verse 6, he says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God. For he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." And God does have a purpose for His word, His truth, and it's going to accomplish that purpose that God has for it. But the thoughts and ways of God are not the thoughts and ways of man. And so in verse 6, he reminds us and instructs us to seek the Lord while He may be found and to call upon Him while He's near. Will there come a time when the opportunities to seek God and to call upon Him will be gone, where we will not be able to do that anymore? And how many people have waited too long before they sought the Lord or called upon Him, and then they lost those opportunities? So we do not want to put that off. We need to seek the Lord now. This is the day of salvation. And so if we do that, what are we going to do with our ways and thoughts there in verse 7? He says, "Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts." So we need to put away our thoughts and ways and seek the Lord and seek His, because they're not the same. As he says there in verses 8 and 9, God's thoughts and ways are not man's. It's not in man. The way of man is not in himself, and it is not in us to direct our own steps, as we saw again in Jeremiah 10:23. God's thoughts and ways are not man's. Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 7, tells us then what to do concerning our own understanding, and that we should trust the Lord. Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 7 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil." So we have to forsake our thoughts and ways and trust the Lord and follow Him and His ways and learn His thoughts, which is the right source for that truth that God is going to use to form our inner man. In Psalm 119, verse 142, He identifies the source of truth and says, "Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth." And then verse 151 says, "Thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth." So God's law, His commandments, the word of God is truth, which is what Jesus said in John 17:17. As He was praying to His Father on His last night on the earth, He said, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." So it's God's word that has the truth, all things that pertain to life and godliness. And we are not going to find it anywhere else. That's why we need to now, in our time, listen to Christ. Because He has all authority in heaven and on earth. He's the one called the Word. In John 1:1-3, Jesus is the Word. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, says John 1:14. Well, that one who is referred to as the Word is the one that the Father has revealed His everlasting covenant, the New Testament, through. That He tells us in Hebrews 1:1-2. "And these last days He has spoken unto us by His Son, by whom also He made the worlds." So God has spoken to us by His Son, Jesus Christ, which is why Hebrews 2:1-4 tells us that we need to not neglect that great salvation that has been spoken to us by the Lord. God punished every transgression under the old covenant, how much greater is He going to punish those who neglect hearing His Son? Which is why on that mountain, when Jesus was transfigured Matthew 17, the Lord spoke from heaven, "This is my beloved Son." He said, "Hear ye Him." He is well pleased with His Son, and He instructs mankind to listen to Christ. Well, in John 12, we see the reason why in verses 47-50. Jesus came and spoke His Father's words, not His own or anybody else's. We have the Word of God through Him. John 12:47-50. Jesus said, "And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, He gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that His commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak." So we have Jesus being the one that is speaking the Father's word in the New Testament, not of Himself. These are the words that will judge us in the end. So there's not going to be a surprise, or at least there shouldn't be, if we know what's in it. There's no reason for there to be any surprise on Judgment Day concerning the standard by which we're all going to be judged. He says plainly, it's going to be these words of Christ of the New Testament. And we'll be judged according to our works based on that standard. In John 14:23-24, Jesus answered and said to him, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me." And we see that over and over again, that emphasized in the Gospels, especially the Gospel of John. But if we love Christ, we're going to listen to Him because He has spoken God's word, not His own. And so we need to hear Him, as the Father has said. We need to hear His words and follow it. That is the truth. So we have to seek the Lord. And if we do, then we will find that truth from Him. In Matthew 7:7-8, He gives us that promise that if we seek, we'll find. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be open. But we do have to seek lawfully, as 2 Timothy 2:5 says. He that striveth for masteries is not crowned except he strive lawfully. So we have to seek the Lord in the way the Lord tells us to. And we have to seek with all of our heart. We have to fear the Lord and keep His commandments. In Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 6, the Lord gives us a number of the conditions that we have to meet in order to receive knowledge and wisdom and understanding from Him. He is the source of that. But He tells us what we have to do for Him to be willing to give it. Proverbs 2, 1 through 6, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." So we have to receive His words. We have to hide His commandments with us. So there's going to be a heart that we're going to receive correction and teaching from the Lord. And then whatever He says, we're going to hold on to and follow that. That we're going to listen to that, incline our ear to it, apply our heart to it. We're going to be seeking them. And not just in a casual way, but we're going to seek as for silver and as for hid treasure. And we'll ask the Lord for it. And He says, if we do those things, then we're going to understand. The Lord will then give us that understanding of the fear of the Lord, and we'll find the knowledge of God. It's God that gives that. So there He mentions that fear of the Lord, and that's the conclusion of the whole matter there in Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole of man, the whole duty of man. So the Lord has given that for us as the conclusion of it all, that we fear God and keep His commandments. So we need to seek the Lord, and as we find His truth, we need to keep those commandments of the Lord and fear the Lord. Of course, that all goes together. In Proverbs chapter 9, 6 through 10, if we turn there, Proverbs 9, 6 through 10, he's describing the way or the road of understanding. That's what that way is. It's a road, pathway here. Proverbs 9, 6 through 10, "Forsake the foolish and live, and go in the way of understanding." So here's a pathway, a road that we can follow down to have understanding from God. Verse 7, "He that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame, and he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding." So go in the way of understanding. What is the first thing that he's teaching us to do there? We have to receive correction and not scorn the rebukes that come from the Lord. Now, how many people in the world are going to accept being told that they're wrong? That's not the way the world operates. Now, we have to be different than that. I mean, the pattern for man, Proverbs 21, verse 2, "Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord ponders the hearts." He knows what's in us. But most people are going to make excuses for themselves, justify themselves. We can't be like that. When the Lord teaches us in His Word, we have to be willing to receive that correction that comes there so we can understand. And He says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding." So there again is that fear of the Lord, which chapter 8 and verse 13 says is to hate evil. We have to hate evil and love what's good, and then seek that with all of our heart. And as we find it, then we have to do the good and turn away from the evil. That's what the Lord instructs us to do. We see an application of that in John chapter 3, verses 16 through 21. Now, we all know John 3, 16. That's one of the most famous verses in the Bible, if not the most famous one. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." Now, as he's describing that light that is from Christ, the Word of God, there's that lamp to our feet, that light to our path. Well, we have the light of God's Word through Jesus Christ to look at, to reveal to us our deeds and to see whether they are right in the sight of God or not. Now, those who are doing evil, what is their reaction to the light? They don't want to get anywhere near it. They hate it. Like those critters that when you throw in the light at night, this time of year, it's starting to get really warm. And they can't stand the light. They go running for the dark. And he's describing people there that hate the light. They don't want their deeds to be revealed by that light. They don't want to hear what God has to say about what they're doing. They don't want to hear correction. They're not going to receive that. But if we are doing truth, what are we going to do? Rather than running from the light, we're going to be moving towards it. We're going to be seeking that light out. We're going to be going to God's Word and not going there to learn more about what's wrong with everybody else. He says we're going to come to that light so that our deeds will be revealed that they're wrought in God, whether they are or not. So our entire purpose, if we have the right heart there, the way to go in that way of understanding, if we have the fear of the Lord, we're going to be seeking God's Word, going there to learn more about ourselves, to see what's wrong, what we need to change, so that we can please the Lord more. Which is the same thing he teaches in James chapter 1, 22 through 27, when he teaches us not to be hearers of the Word only, but to be doers of the Word. In James 1, 22 through 27, he says, "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." So if we hear it and then don't do it, he says we're deceiving ourselves. Verse 23, "For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world." So he's teaching us there to not be a hearer only, but to be a doer of the word. So we have to look into this perfect law of liberty, which he referred to as a light there in John 3, and now he's describing it as a mirror to look into. And we go to the mirror to see what's wrong, just like we go to that light to have our deeds revealed, to see whether they really are wrought in God. Well, here we're going to that mirror, looking in this mirror to see ourselves compared to what God would have us to be. And if we're not deceiving ourselves, then as we look in there and we see ourselves and what's really there in our inner man, and here's how we're going to have truth in the inward parts, we're going to then do what he says. Just like we do in the morning when we look in that mirror and we see what's wrong with our outer man and we fix what's wrong as best we can, we're going to have to fix what's wrong in our inner man. We need to go to this mirror every day looking for what we need to change so that we can please God. The toughest job we have is bridling our tongues in verse 26. But if we don't do that, if we're just hearing all those words about bridling our tongues but don't do it, when he says we're deceiving our own heart. So there's the application of the very difficult application of the hearing and doing that he mentioned there in verse 22. If we don't, we're deceiving ourselves. If we don't bridle our tongues, we're not doing. And then we're deceiving our own heart. We need to have that pure religion and undefiled before God. Do all those things that he tells us to do. Not just to be hearers, but doers of the word. So we'll be blessed in our deed. So we need to have truth in our inner man. Now that's going to require iniquity to be purged out. Proverbs chapter 16, let's go there and read verse 6. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 6. "By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil." So now we get down to the crux of the matter. If we have that fear of the Lord, if we hate evil and love what's good, then what are we going to do? Where is the change going to take place for us to be a doer of his word? Well, that truth is going to have to be in our inner man. It's going to and that truth is going to purge out the iniquity that is there. Well, we have a description of our hearts in Luke chapter 6, verses 43 through 45 as the source of the things that we think and say and do. Luke 6, 43 through 45 says, "For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, Neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. So he identifies the source of what we do. If we have evil in our hearts, what's it going to produce? What kind of words? What kind of actions? What kind of thoughts? And so we can learn a lot about ourselves if we'll just listen to ourselves, and if we'll pay attention to what we're thinking, if we'll look at what we're doing. That's what we're supposed to do. That's going to reveal to us what's there in our hearts. And as we have thoughts or words or deeds that we recognize that are not according to or working God's righteousness, what do we need to do with those things? Well, we need to change those things. That evil needs to be purged out of our hearts. And that is God's work that he's doing. He describes that work in Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. And here's what God says he's doing with all of us in Philippians 2, verse 13. He says, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." So God is going to be working in us. And where is that work going to be taking place? That's going to be in our inner man. He's going to be using his truth, his word, to transform us, to be purging out that evil that is in our hearts that causes us to do evil things. Now, where does faith come from? It comes from hearing God's word, Romans 10, 17. And what does God use to purge, purify, or cleanse us? And that those different words we have in English, purge, purify, cleanse, it's almost always one common Greek word that's or a form of that word that is translated those various ways into English. But Acts 15 and verse 9 also describes God's work. Acts 15 verse 9, and this was the Apostle Peter giving a report on the work that God was doing with the Gentiles. He says, "And put no difference between us," that's Jews, "and them," Gentiles, "purifying their hearts by faith." So Peter was identifying a common work that God was doing in the hearts of Jews and Gentiles who were converted to Christ. And there was no difference in the way God was working with each. All Christians God is going to work with in this same way to purify their hearts by faith. That faith comes by hearing God's word. But he's going to use that truth in our inner man to purge out the evil that is there and to form in us what are the parts of the love of God. And so that's why we need to be seeking the Lord with all of our hearts so that we can have his truth forming us in our inner man. Well, as the evil is purged out and as we are having the parts of God's love formed in us, which is what he describes in 1 John 2, 1 through 6, we're going to then have a great difference in what we do, as we would expect. If the heart, if it's that evil that's in there that causes us to do evil, if that evil's purged out and we have what is good and according to the nature of God formed in there, is that going to change our thoughts, words, and deeds? We will see that. And that's what he's describing here in 1 John 2, 1 to 6. "My little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked." And if we do walk in the steps of Christ and keep his word, he promises that he's going to perfect his love in us. So here he's going to be completing his love, all the parts of it. And God's love does have parts. And we all remember 1 Corinthians chapter 13 when he says, "Love is kind, it suffers long." He says it doesn't envy, it's not puffed up, it's not soon angry. He gives a description of a number of things that God's love is, a number of things that God's love is not. Well, those things that God's love is not are the things that have to be purged out. Those things that are of God's nature are the things that have to be formed in us. That's the work that God is doing, purifying our hearts by faith as we hear his word. and we are willing to receive his teachings and follow those teachings. Well, what's the end point of that? In Luke chapter 11 and verse 36, he's giving a description of where we want to end up as far as the truth being in our inward parts. Luke 11 and verse 36, he says, "If thy whole body therefore be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light." Now, isn't that what we want to have our inner man to be? Full of light with no part dark. And when God forms us and we reach that point, that's what spiritual perfection or completion is, then we're going to be prepared to overcome every temptation, because all the evil that causes us to fall to sin, those things are purged out now. Those things that will enable us to fulfill the will of God, all those parts of His nature, His love, are then in us. And that's why in James chapter 3 and verse 2, getting back there to that subject of our tongues, and if we had more time, we could really spend a lot more detail on that, because that is such a difficult job that we have. But in James 3 and verse 2, he shows us what's possible. He says, "For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body." Now, he's not saying that to mean that you can never that can never happen, forget about it. No, he's showing us here's what is possible. In fact, it was in chapter 1 that we just looked at a moment ago. If we don't do that, he says, then we're deceiving ourselves. If we seem to be religious and we're not bridling our tongues, we're deceiving our own hearts. So we need to have that pure and undefiled religion, which is going to include our being able to bridle our tongues. But that is such a difficult job. He says when we reach that point and are able to do that, that is the complete man that's able to do that and also bridle the whole body. Well, if we bridle the whole body and our tongues with that, then how many of God's commandments are we going to be transgressing at that point? See, we're going to be able to keep all of those commandments. We're going to be able to overcome all those temptations of sin. And being complete in His love will enable us to do that. That's when truth is in our inner man. That's when we have His law written in our hearts and minds, which is the very goal that He has for the new and everlasting covenant, the Word of Christ. And He promises us if we keep that Word, He will perfect His love in us. This is an opportunity for you this evening. If you've not yet become a follower of Christ, no reason to put that off anymore. We've been looking at the great purpose that God has for each one, and especially we're looking there at the finish line. But you can't get to the finish line if you never start the race. So tonight is an opportunity for you to start the race, to be born again of water and of the Spirit, to obey the gospel of Christ, repent and be baptized in His name for the remission of your sins. If you're ready to do that, we're ready to assist you in your obedience to the gospel so that you can have hope of eternal life, so that God can begin that work in you to not only will but to do His good pleasure. If you are a Christian, if you need to repent of sin, if you need the prayers of the church and the encouragement of your brethren tonight, you also have this opportunity to make your wishes known. Anyone that needs to respond to the Lord's invitation at this time, won't you come now while we stand together and sing?